Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Well, how do you replace Barry Alvarez with Jesse Nelson? That's how we do it around here. It's the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, Wisconsin On Demand, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, live from the Hilldale location. It is cold outside, but we're inside warming up at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, the Hilldale location, one of the four great locations all around the greater Madison area. My name is Jesse Nelson, in for Alex Gravatt and Barry Alvarez and Tarek Saleh and Derek Engler this week. Football season is over. We're into the offseason. You'll still hear from those guys throughout the next several months, especially around some of the biggest moments of the football offseason. I'm not alone, though. That we actually brought in someone who's a star. It's John Audius, the voice of Wisconsin Badgers volleyball and women's basketball. Hi, John.
Hey, I feel weird because, like, this is people who are used to hearing Barry Alvarez now, they have to hear us.
Any strong critiques of the Wisconsin football program that would like to go newsworthy around the country?
I don't think I could do it like Barry could, you know.
Not many can.
No, Barry says something, the whole state is like, what'd he say? So, nothing of that ilk.
Plenty of Badgers conversation that we will have here, though, at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, Hilldale location, with you for the next hour. Taking you up to Duke, Virginia basketball? We got a Duke, Virginia game on a Monday night. All right, happy President's Day, I guess, from ESPN Radio. Duke, Virginia, coming up at 7 o'clock after the Great Dane Huddle here on 100.5 ESPN. Lots to talk about. The All-Star weekend in the books. Star-studded weekend between the Four Nations face-off, the NBA All-Star game, the Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary. That's been a lot of the conversation on many of the shows today. But also Wisconsin men's basketball dominating the weekend. We do a feature on our ESPN Madison social media platforms with our friends at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison called Who Won the Weekend? Mm-hmm. I think undoubtedly Wisconsin men's basketball won the weekend, up to number 11 in this week's AP poll that was unveiled just a few hours ago, up five spots from number 16 to number 11 after a convincing 10-point victory in West Lafayette. And those who are have been on the train over the years of Greg Gard is not the right guy to lead this program forward, John, they have to take a back seat.
In no way am I trying to be a Debbie Downer at all. I don't want anybody to listen to me in the next couple minutes and think I'm a Debbie Downer.
That's a strange thing that someone who's about to say something positive would normally say.
I don't want to be considered that. I just want to put some things into perspective. You're right. Wisconsin had a fantastic win at Purdue. It was
great win.
Great win. Now, if I had not told you the score, or I had not told you anything, and I told you that defensively, the opposition shot 55% in the second half, hit more field goals, one more three, 50% from three, 6 of 7 at the free throw line. If I told you that they were 55% from the floor and scored 47 second half points, you would go, oh my goodness.
Tough night for the Badgers.
That was a bad second half. So, yes. The Badgers did what they needed to do, and that, you know, eliminates everything I just told you, all those stats. I just want people to see those stats, too, and kind of put it into perspective. What am I trying to say? I'm not trying to say that they're better or worse than what that new ranking says, than what the results say. I'm just saying I'm sure Greg Gard and company look at that as well, and they're very happy with 72% and 6 threes in the second half and 50-some points. But they also gave up almost 50 points in the second half, allowed the opposition to shoot 55% and 50% from three as well. Can we just mention? I just want to mention, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer.
It sounds like you're trying to be a Debbie Downer, John, is what you're doing. You're trying to rain on the parade here.
But what's your reaction when you hear that? I mean, obviously everybody knows the 70%, 72% in the second half. Did you know? I mean, 50 points given up.
Yeah, those statistics are definitely, it's above average for sure. But I kind of put my hands up and say that's basketball. The conversation around the NBA All-Star game and the state of the league from Draymond Green and others this weekend, like, that's kind of what the sport has become. And Wisconsin has now evolved where it's not about controlling tempo and scoring first to 60 or 55 is going to win yourself a game and drag it out and grind it out. Like, it's run down the floor, who's faster, who's more accurate from beyond the arc, and that's where Wisconsin's been winning. Plus, they've been super dependable at the free throw line. There's a lot of good things for where this team is, and in modern basketball, I believe this team has evolved now to the point where they are one of the best in the country. I think they're well-deserving of that number 11 ranking, and sure, they might have nights where they give up the kind of numbers you just did to an opponent, but they can still win the game by double digits, because that's basketball.
Right, and you make a good point that it's not your Bo Ryan's Badgers or whatever, and we're not trying to keep it. And I'm not saying that that's what it should be or that's what they're trying to be. I'm just saying if the other side's shooting 55%, you better be shooting 60. And thankfully, they did. 72%. And I guess that's a lot of pressure. So when we talk about success, specifically in a one-and-done scenario, I'm just saying that they have to be on at that very, very elite clip. Because if you do that in the second half of a tournament game and you give up 55% shooting and you're not shooting 60% or some insane 72% number, there, statistically speaking, I bet you're going to lose more games than you're going to win that way. I'm just saying, and I understand it's a different thing and you're scoring 80-some points a game, per game. I get that. All I'm saying is come tournament time, because we talked about like expectations for the Badgers. We were talking about it before the show. Come tournament time, if I see 55% in the second half, I'm not feeling very confident about their success on the court.
844-770-3776. That's the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Lists is more, and it's your way into the Great Dane Huddle here on 100.5 ESPN. Again, 844-770-3776. You're going to want to have that phone number, because I would love to hear from you. We have no Barry Alvarez this week. We have no Tarek Saleh, no Derek Engler, so it's John and Jesse, John Audius, Jesse Nelson, the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison, and we want to hear from you. Because here's the question that I want to ask. We have the voice of Wisconsin Badgers volleyball and John Audius. You're also the voice of Wisconsin women's basketball. We'll talk more about the Lady Badgers coming up here in just a little bit. But so the floor and the expectations for Wisconsin sports. When I think the Green Bay Packers under Aaron Rodgers, what was the floor and what was the expectation for the postseason? To me, the divisional round of the playoffs. Like, that is where you expected the Green Bay Packers to be every year that Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback. Agree or disagree?
Agreed, for sure. 100%.
With Jordan Love, I think playoff berth is what we're starting to realize is the floor slash expectation
so
postseason
far, yeah.
Speaking.
Okay.
They've been the 7 seed back-to-back years. We expect better than that, but we certainly don't expect the Packers not to make the playoffs as long as Jordan Love's the quarterback,
makes
right?
Makes sense. Yep.
When we look at the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis, the expectation has been, be a top 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. You don't have to be the 1 seed every year, and they haven't been, but they've fluctuated anywhere in that top 4 for the last more than half a decade.
I'll say my expectations rose with the Bucks championship. I'm like, okay,
sure.
let's get the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, but I don't know if that's realistic.
Yeah, since
but
what, like 2018, 19, I think we're saying that they've been a top 4 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs
that's
every
good.
Year.
Yeah, pretty good.
So that's the expectation come playoff time. You expect the Bucks to at least make the second round of the postseason, if not the conference finals.
I would think that makes sense.
They've only done that once, but you know, it's been disappointing
know, right?
The last couple of years.
Yeah, well, maybe they haven't reached expectations, and that's fine. You don't always reach expectations. But anyway.
I think the best team across the board in Wisconsin sports might be the team that you are on the call of here on ESPN Madison, Wisconsin Badgers Volleyball. For the last decade, they've made more than a decade. They've made the Sweet 16 every single year under head coach Kelly Sheffield. Like, that is the minimum expectation. I think you could even say Elite 8 is the year that is the expectation for Wisconsin volleyball.
I think you're yes. And if any volleyball staff is listening, I'm just saying, like, from a fan perspective, I feel like I put a lot of pressure. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what? They probably expect it too, to be quite honest.
When you expect greatness, when you're a consistent Final Four contender, when that's the goal every year, you're getting the top recruits for sure.
Yeah, I think from a fan perspective, if they get to the Elite Eight, like, you push for the Final Four, but you know the Final Four is still like that little extra bit. At least that's the way I kind of look at it. Like, if you get to the Final Four, I'm like, what a great season. I can't believe it's happening this many times out of X amount of years or whatnot. 7 straight Elite Eights, 12 straight Sweet 16s. Yes, the expectation. If the Badger volleyball team were to lose in the Sweet 16, it would feel disappointing.
It's still an unreal stat. 7 straight Elite Eights. I can't believe that that's a thing. And we just glance over it like, yeah, of course. That's
of course.
What they do.
Yes.
So
almost a decade's worth of Elite Eights, like, consistently. That's crazy.
When I was in high school, as I got into college and then transitioned into the professional workforce, over about a decade stretch, my expectation as a fan of Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball was the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. And that's a credit to Bo Ryan and the system and the players that came through. A top four what were the things Bo always preached? A top four finish in the Big Ten, make more free throws than the other team attempts, and I think the expectation became reach the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, the Sweet 16. And for the most part, we were looking earlier today at some of the historic runs that Wisconsin had in the tournament outside of that team that went to the national championship. We all know about that one 10 years ago, but there were a lot of other really good Badgers teams and even some under-the-radar Badgers teams that pulled off a few surprises and made the second round of the tournament. Remember when they lost to Steph Curry and Davidson? That was the second weekend. They lost to North Carolina, who went on to play in the championship in 05. That was the second weekend of the tournament in the Elite Eight. Brian Butch got hurt when they were a two seed. They ended up losing to UNLV in the second round, but otherwise that was a team that was number one in the country at one point that season and was expected to make a deep run. So that was one of the exceptions to not making the second weekend, and that was arguably the best team in that entire stretch.
Yeah, very well could have been, yeah.
I don't know what the expectation is anymore for Wisconsin basketball in the postseason, because I heard Jim Rutledge mentioning this earlier on Jim, Matt, and Molly, weekdays 4 to 6 here on ESPN Madison. We've been down this road with Greg Gard. We've been down the road of, oh, what a great coach. Like, look how great this thing is going. Mm-hmm. Here they are again in the driver's seat in the Big Ten now, or near the top of the conference in the Big Ten, and they got a great chance to position themselves well for a deep NCAA tournament run, could play first and second round games at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee if the cards are dealt right. And we saw that a couple of years ago with Johnny Davis. They lost to Iowa State. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the expectation is, even with all of these things going positively for the team right now. I don't know if it's fair to say I expect them to reach the Sweet 16, if I expect them to win a tournament game, or if I just expect year after year that they're going to be in the tournament, and then it's kind of a crapshoot once you get into that round of 64.
Yeah, well, I think as a fan, no matter when you enter the tournament, you have to go in there and look at the matchups and understand that as a whole, things, you know, you may just be matched up against a team that just has a better matchup. You know, you know what I mean? And you could be eliminated early. I guess for me personally, I still keep it at Sweet 16. I still think that especially, I mean, almost a top 10 team.
Yeah. Projected a three seed in the
late
committee's
February,
rankings.
Okay, in late February, projected a three seed. To me, that's still a Sweet 16. Now, if you enter and you just squeak into the tournament, I'm not expecting Sweet 16. But in this scenario, so I think I understand, like, in the past we could always kind of set it up and be like Sweet 16 or bust. And I agree with you, and I think that's what it was. I think now I just kind of, you have to play it by ear. And how do you get to the tournament? Because you can't just sneak in and expect to be in the Sweet 16. But this team right here, 72% second half Purdue team. This team, 80-some points per game, almost top 10 in the country, late February. I expect Sweet 16 or bust.
You heard Matt LaPay earlier today on Wilde and Tausch talk about the offensive productivity that this team's had, and that's what makes this a little different than the Johnny Davis team a few years ago, or the Ethan Happ-led team in the late stages of the 2010s, or even a couple of those teams that were quote-unquote the leftovers from the Final Four and National Championship game squad in 14 and 15, where they still made some deep tournament runs, and the Chioza lost to Florida.
Oh,
sorry to bring it up.
Wow.
I had as tough a time. I had a toughest time of anybody with that loss, believe you me, and I'll spare you the details. I don't know what to expect this year and if it's the norm for Wisconsin basketball. I'm along for the ride, and I'm excited. I think this team has a chance, like Mark Tauscher has proclaimed, to make a deep NCAA tournament run. They seem to have all the basics, and they fit the mold for a team that you would want to project to make a big run. They match up well. They can win playing different styles. They're offensively productive. They're great at the free throw line. They have a great combination of veteran leaders and some young, amazing talent. Like, I love everything about the team. I just don't know what the expectations are, to be fair, for Wisconsin basketball anymore going into an NCAA tournament. So I want to hear what our fans have to say. 844-770-3776. That's the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. 844-770-3776. Liss is more. Here's the poll question also that will get posted here momentarily on ESPN Madison on X at ESPN Madison. What is your annual expectation for Wisconsin men's basketball in the postseason? I think we narrow it down to these four options, John.
Okay, let's hear it.
Make the tournament. That's your...
Well, like, I mean, yeah, if that's not
and,
happening.
And I think there will be fans who say making the tournament is the expectation. Based on the tournament results we've seen the last 7-8 years,
yeah,
making the tournament for some fans might be enough of an expectation right
okay,
now.
Okay.
Winning one tournament game, reaching the Sweet 16, which is what you just said a few minutes ago, and that's what it used to be, or other. And I want to leave that other option because I want to know if that's better or worse. Either way, I think it's going to be kind of an outlier. So I'm curious what our fans will vote in that poll question on X at ESPN Madison. But I also want to take some phone calls. 844-770-3776. The Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Liss is more. What are your expectations come postseason time annually for Wisconsin men's basketball? Your way into the show, 844-770-3776. We'll hear from you, and we'll check some of the returns on that poll question coming up in just a few moments. We are at the Great Dane Hilldale location, the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, a Madison original brewing award-winning craft beers for over 30 years. Whether you're a fan of Pilsners, IPAs, Stouts, or Sours, the Great Dane's team of brewers always have something great on tap. Head to one of the four locations, Fitchburg, Hilldale, Downtown, or East Madison, and enjoy those delicious beers today. The Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, Madison's original brew pub, serving award-winning beer and great food since 1994. Speaking of that great food, might be time for us to order something.
I'm looking at the menu right now, Jesse.
Well, let's take a look, and we will get that food coming up, and we're going to review your responses on the other side of the break. It's the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison.
I want to turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone.
Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. Also live video streaming on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Jesse Nelson, the voice of Wisconsin Badgers volleyball. John Audius with you here at the Great Dane Hilldale location tonight. Come on out and join us. Members of our ESPN Madison team are here. Some other great patrons of the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company stopping by. Crop Circle Wheat here is the beer of the week.
It is. So, yes, that's what I hear too.
Check that out if you're a fan of the Crop Circle. It is cold outside, but you know that already. So come on and warm up over with us here at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. The Hilldale location this week. We alternate between all four around the greater Madison area. So stay tuned every week on the ESPN Madison social media platforms. You'll see where the show is each and every week all year long. 844-770-3776, the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Liss is more. That's where we want you to join us in weighing in on this week's Great Dane Huddle poll question on Twitter, X at ESPN Madison. What is your annual expectation for Wisconsin men's basketball in the postseason? Make the tournament, win one tournament game, reach the Sweet 16, or other. John Audius, have you placed your vote in the poll?
I have. Reach the Sweet 16, 53% agree with me that that's the expectation. Now, that might be like an old school look at it because I'm so used to several years of success. But when I heard that first option, like make the tournament, we're talking about, here's the year-by-year win totals for Wisconsin basketball. Start with last year and go backwards. 22 wins, 20 wins, 25 wins, 18 wins, 21 wins, 23 wins. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if you're in that range, that should be a given. Like, you shouldn't, like, don't settle for just making the tournament. That should be, like, a given.
You win 20-plus games as a Big Ten team, you should be in the NCAA tournament.
You should be in the tournament.
Year,
so
right,
I don't even like that first option. And how many people, I just brought it up, hold on a second, 18% or something, 13% say make the tournament? Those are low expectations.
But this is an interesting, suddenly it's becoming a generational conversation. So here's what I want to do. So you're a little bit older than me. Chrissy Birdsall is our producer tonight back in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison. She's younger than both of us.
Okay.
Chrissy, how are you voting in this poll question?
I think for me, it just kind of depends. I feel like
that's a boring answer.
Well, the 4 years I've been here are arguably some of the worst Wisconsin basketball that we've seen in the past decade. I went to one NIT and two first round exits. So for me, if they make the tournament and they win a game, that's a win for me because that's all I've experienced during my time as a student this year. Now for the team this year, I think they can go a lot further. I think this is a Sweet 16, capable even a Final Four national championship caliber team. But that's the team this year. I feel like every other year, if they win a game in the tournament, that's a win for me, and that's a win for Greg Gard.
Okay, so that was, what, 27% win one tournament game?
Yep. That's how you're voting, Chrissy? Win one tournament game?
Yes.
Okay, that is how I voted also, after much deliberation among me and
that
my shoulder
angels. That doesn't change with everything that's happened recently? Doesn't change with this year? And 81 points per game?
So, and again, my answer was always reach the Sweet 16 is the expectation for me as a Badger basketball fan, going back to the Bo Ryan days and the success that the program had so many years in a row. But here's where I get caught up in it. How many college basketball teams, men's college basketball Division I teams, how many in the country do you think the expectation is fair to say reach the Elite Eight every year?
Very
Duke?
Few. Sure.
Kansas?
Sure.
Kentucky?
Kentucky.
Anybody else? Like UConn, not every year. Obviously, this year
it's just a handful. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like 3 to 5.
Fewer than five. Like not even all the blue bloods can say that on a regular basis, and not just the teams that are blue. We went through this last year. Every March we go through who's a blue blood. Is it just the team that happens to be blue?
Okay, so you're saying that Elite Eight is very few.
Yeah, very few teams can say going into every season their expectation is to reach the Elite Eight. The only other one I could think of besides those three regularly is Gonzaga.
Oh,
because of where they've gotten now. And even they don't do it regularly enough to say that they can be in that conversation.
No.
So then, if that's tier one, the teams that, like, no one says the expectation's the Final Four every year. Like, Duke could maybe say that, but come on. Like, the Elite Eight is, like,
it varies.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
So how many teams in the country could then say reaching the Sweet 16 every year is realistic? That's where you open it up to a whole bunch more teams. Michigan State, Illinois, Gonzaga,
Wisconsin.
There's a large contingency of teams that would say reaching the Sweet 16 is the expectation. And if we're tiering the teams, I feel like some of those teams, like Gonzaga, UCLA is a tough one. I don't know if I wanted to go there right away. Arizona.
Yes.
Houston has become one of those teams lately. A couple of SEC teams I would lump in there. Tennessee has been really good. Auburn, Alabama have been really good the last decade. North Carolina, a couple other ACC schools you could throw in. A lot of those teams would be one tier still above Wisconsin based on the last decade of performance, in my view.
Okay.
And so I can't put Wisconsin on the same expectation tier as
in
those
general.
Teams.
I get it. In general.
So I have to go one less than that, which is winning one NCAA tournament game. And there will be years where this team is good enough to reach the Final Four. This team should reach the Elite Eight based on the matchups. But annually, if I'm saying, like, here's the blueprint for Wisconsin
where's
basketball.
The cutoff, by the way? Annually, is it 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, 35? I mean, obviously that.
I guess by decade is kind of what I've started to look at it as.
Okay.
Maybe that's just because it's been 10 years since that team reached the national championship game.
I was going to say,
too,
so how does that factor in? Because you go back, now your expectation is.
It depends where you cut it off. That's a great point, John. Because if you look at 05 to 15, the Sweet 16 might not even be good enough for some of those teams. Like the Elite Eight might have been the expectation for some of those teams. 15 to 25, I think winning one NCAA tournament game is reasonable.
And this year's team and what they did on Saturday was amazing, right? And I would say for this year, especially after the rankings are coming out, the time of year we're at, the resume that you've accumulated, I would say Sweet 16 this year is kind of like, let's go. Let's see what happens. Let's see if we can do that again. But I do also just want to pump the brakes on one thing. And I said this earlier in the segment, and I do you understand what I'm saying when I say pump the brakes on Saturday's win?
I do. You were being a little bit of a Debbie
Downer. And I'm not trying to be, because it's a great season, and it's a great win, and 72% should be applauded and recognized, 72% shooting and 50-some points. All I'll say is this, and if you understand what I'm saying here, you gave up 55% shooting They made more threes than you, seven compared to six. They shot 50% from three, and they scored 47 points. Most games, if I don't tell you what the 72% was, you know, that the other team scored, what, 58 in the second half? Like, that's not...
It's going to be a poor defensive
Do that in the second round, you're not getting to the Sweet 16 if you give up 55% shooting and 47 points. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say here?
It does. You know what it reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of the conversation around the 2011 Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
The team that was 15-1 in the regular season, coming off the Super Bowl title, and all those wide receivers on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and this offense is loaded, and everybody's like, wow, look at how many points this team can score every week. It's like, well, but they gave up 34 to New Orleans in the opener. Nah, look at how many points they're scoring. They haven't lost the game. Yeah, but they're giving up 30. They're giving up 28. Like, they're just outscored. Nah, look at how good. And then they play the Giants in the divisional round at Lambeau, and the Giants say, hey, let's play a little defense. And that was enough to get it done against that team.
Thank you.
That's what it reminds me of.
Okay, yes. I think, yes, that's a good point. It's kind of like along these same type of lines, a defense that gives up a lot. So it's as if the Badger football team outscored Purdue. What's the scenario I'm looking for? Like they scored like 24 second half points but gave up 21.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, congratulations, and maybe that's not apples to apples comparison, but you know what I'm saying? It's like
sometimes
did we just all decide to overlook that you gave up 21 second half points?
Sometimes wins can actually get in the way of your assessment of a team.
Uh-huh,
and
for
even last year's Green Bay Packers, if we're sticking with the Packers analogies, last year the Packers never played a complete four quarters of football all season long. But we went into the playoffs, and many of us as Packers fans were thinking, oh, we can go to Philadelphia and get a win. We could go to Detroit and get a win if called upon. It's tough to beat a team three times. We can do this against these NFC. Wait a minute. Let's actually look at the data here. And the data is suggesting that this team isn't as good as maybe we think they are just based on the wins. Because, yes, they survived against some teams where they built huge first-half leads and then gave it up in the second half but won the game. Like, you can't do that against the highest quality opponents in the postseason.
Right.
So I like your line of thinking that you're challenging the team to continue to get better because just because they're doing this against Purdue in the regular season or Iowa hanging 100 on them twice,
listen,
I think.
Listen, when you do something outrageous and score 58 second-half points and shoot 72%, I don't want to take away in any way like the accomplishment of how awesome that moment is, because it is awesome. It should be recognized, and it should provide confidence for the team that they are really good and can be really dominant at times. But it took 72% shooting and 58 points. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't just fall out of the sky every weekend. You don't just score 58 points in the second half and shoot 72%. Like, that's historic type of performances.
I now officially feel like I've reached the point where I'm talking myself in circles. But here's the other thing I would say. Okay. On the positive end of this debate, you can say Purdue did all of that, and the Badgers still got a win at Mackey Arena against a top 10 Big Ten opponent on the road.
Thank you. And that's what I'm trying to state
there,
for the most
There's
part.
The positivity. Like, how do you weigh the positivity of that accomplishment on the road, in conference play, huge game, signature win of the season, versus... There's still a lot of things that we need to be better at if we want to make a serious Final Four run come March.
It's like the Badger volleyball team. I don't know. I'm trying to think of scenarios. Hitting 500 in the fifth set, but they gave up a 450 attack percentage to the opposition and won by two. I don't know. That's not a clean example either, but I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say.
I'm just going to let you flounder here.
It's not the cleanest example. It's on the fly. I'm trying to do it on the fly. But I hope you kind of understand.
We're out of volleyball.
The general direction.
It totally makes sense.
My thought is,
I think we've seen enough of the comparisons over time as Wisconsin sports fans where it's like, all right, like the Brewers win a bunch of games, but their pitching isn't any good.
There we go.
They've
outscored
teams. They get to the postseason and, oh, you need pitching.
Yes.
Well, turns out we probably needed that. Or the opposite. We have the pitching, need the offense. Got to score runs to win games. Like, there's a lot of examples of the pros and cons of how to measure success throughout the course of a season. And that will be one of the interesting things to keep an eye on throughout the remainder of this college basketball season with Wisconsin, including tomorrow night at the Kohl Center hosting Illinois. Big game tomorrow night. Hopefully, Illinois is unable to turn its fortunes upside down.
Nah, I was going to say, well
thank
done.
You.
Well done.
Saving that one. The banner hung upside down honoring Terrence Shannon in Champaign on Saturday.
Imagine that. So, like, it's a big moment. And
I,
it's like,
look, I worked on an arena staff at Bradley University where I went to school for 4 years.
Yeah.
How does no one, like, look at that thing?
And just one
that's
guy
not right.
It up
like, there's got to be an entire team of people looking at that thing and hoisting up and like putting it in place and double checking and like you don't do that just as the people are like, oh yeah, we got to put the banner up. Like that's a whole thing that goes through routines of practice to make it look right. Like how do you mess that up? It's like, embarrassing.
I don't know exactly like the fasteners and how everything like connects up there, but also like yes, like you would like why is the bottom able to even be unfurled at the top?
Just atrocious.
I don't know how banners work.
Just atrocious. That kind of year that team's having. They had Final Four aspirations coming into the year, not looking too good for them. Hopefully Wisconsin can confirm that assessment tomorrow night at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin, Illinois, big game. 7:30 tip tomorrow night. We'll talk a little more Badgers, including John is the voice of Wisconsin women's basketball. So I want to get assessment on where the Badgers stand because it's a big week for Wisconsin women's basketball
big.
This week. We're going to talk about that coming up, as well as hear from Chrissy Bertol, again back in the Everlight Solar Studio producing tonight's show here on ESPN Madison. And, of course, we'll get our assessment on the All-Star weekend for hockey, for basketball, and for Saturday Night Live. That's all still coming up here on the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison. Brought to you in part by Janesville Kia, located right off Interstate 90, only minutes away from Madison. They treat people the way they'd like to be treated. It's really pretty easy. And that's why they're up 78% over last year. That's wow, like how good Wisconsin shot at Purdue, 78%. See for yourself why people all over Wisconsin have experienced the difference of Janesville Kia and told their friends. Come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Experience the difference great customer service makes today at Janesville Kia. Jesse Nelson, John Audius, the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison.
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget.
Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Jesse Nelson, John Audius with you here on ESPN Madison tonight at the Great Dane Hilldale location. Come on out and join us. Plenty of room at the bar, down here where the seats are. Booths available. It's a very I love all the Great Danes. They all have their own personality and their own charm. Like they're all like, you know, you're at the Great Dane, but they've got just got each one has this slight different ambiance.
The outdoor seating downtown,
mm-hmm.
That's like the first time I went there,
you don't even know it's there if you don't know you're looking for
it's hidden. Uh-huh. And when the first time I went there and sat down, I was like, this is like the coolest spot in town. This is awesome.
Yep.
I feel like I just found a hidden gem, but obviously it's a Great Dane. But you know, yeah, but you're right. If you haven't never been back there and seen that seating area.
I had some friends who came into town last summer. We went over to the Fitchburg location, and they just loved it. They were like, we went a little happy hour there and had a wonderful time. And I love the Hilldale location right here, too, especially around the holidays when everything's all lit up and all the lights on. It's fantastic. But all the Great Dane spots are fantastic. That's really the point of what we're talking about. And come out, enjoy the beer, enjoy the food, just like we are here at the Great Dane Hilldale location every week here on ESPN Madison, the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. All right, so we talked a lot about Wisconsin men's basketball. We'll get a final check of the poll question coming up in our final segment of the show tonight. John, you are the radio voice of Wisconsin women's basketball. And the Badgers have a huge contest coming up this week as the home stretch of this regular season is in full effect now.
Yeah, three Big Ten wins for Wisconsin, 12-14 overall, 3-12 in the Big Ten. And they've got a winnable game coming up against Northwestern. Now, it's senior day. At the Kohl Center, tickets available. Go check out the Badgers at the Kohl Center. But Northwestern is a team at the bottom of the Big Ten standings with just one win. So Wisconsin right now, top 15 make the tournament. So there's
I think people don't know that. So I wanted to emphasize that. Not every team makes the Big Ten tournament for either men's or women's basketball this
year. Just 15 of the 18 teams make the tournament now that we've got such a huge conference. And Wisconsin is... It's turned into like a little, it makes the end of the regular season for those
teams toward the bottom of the conference, like a little mini postseason run. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty fun. And they've got a very gettable game against Northwestern, like I said, a one-win team. If they get that, I think they've pretty much locked in then with four Big Ten wins with two games left. Like, they're in. If they can't get that game, they have a UCLA team that just lost for the first time this season, this past week.
The previously ranked number one team in the country.
Previously undefeated and number one. And then they go to Iowa, which is just a place that is really hard to play no matter what.
They're not what they were, but they're still very good.
Thank you. Yep, that's the best way to put it.
I'll say it.
But so my point is this. If they can pick up win number four in the Big Ten, that would go a long way to securing a top 15. If they don't, Purdue has a winnable game. Rutgers plays tonight. They have two winnable games. It's Rutgers, Purdue, Wisconsin kind of fighting for two spots, those three teams, really. And if Purdue wins three and Rutgers wins four and you're stuck with three if you're Wisconsin, Purdue gets the tiebreaker over mm-hmm. you because they beat you head-to-head. If all three teams finish with three, Wisconsin gets the tiebreaker because they have the best Big Ten win in the upset over Michigan a couple of games ago. So it's really pivotal. It's a really pivotal game for Wisconsin.
So bottom line, this weekend, huge game at home at the Kohl Center against Northwestern.
Yes. 2 p.m.
So come on out, support the team. If you can't make it out there, listen to John on the radio broadcast.
There you go.
What do you want fans who haven't followed the team closely all season long to know about Wisconsin women's basketball here with just a couple of games left in the season?
That when things are clicking, this Badgers team is really good. They really are. And I know that's talking about a team that's won three times in the Big Ten. They've got one of the best players in the conference in Sarah Williams. She's third in scoring, second in rebounding, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year last season. She is the best player I've seen in my decade of calling games. Most dominant player. They've got a point guard that's 5'2" in Ronnie Porter, but she's so much fun to watch. She can rebound, which is amazing at that height. They've got transfers that can hit from the outside or score down low at a very high percentage. I'm talking about Tess Myers from the outside, Carter McRae down low. It's just a fun team, and when they're clicking and shots are falling, it's really fun because the opposition doesn't know what to do. The opposition is like, we got to collapse two or three players like they routinely do against Sarah Williams down low. But if Tess Myers and company are hitting shots from the outside, and Hallie Douglas was hitting on Saturday, a fifth-year player, teams are going to have to try to figure out what to do against Wisconsin. So when Wisconsin's firing on all cylinders offensively, they're really, really, I think, a team that can make some noise.
You've got me fired up that if they could get into the Big Ten tournament, we've seen the team in the last few seasons.
They have to make shots.
But they have made a couple of runs in that Big Ten tournament where they win a game or two, and it makes it interesting when you get to that time of year, and that's what you hope for.
Let's get there first, mm-hmm. and then we'll tackle it and see the matchups later.
And that's been Wisconsin Women's Basketball Breakdown here with
go.
John Audience.
That was
here
fun.
On the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison.
I want to do that more often.
Appreciate it. Hey, okay. we'll make it happen. Barry Alvarez is taking a back seat now. So we got John Audience stopping by here on the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison. Jesse Nelson and John Audience with you. Great Dane Hilldale location. We'll get our final thoughts on the star-studded weekend. Hockey, basketball, and Saturday Night Live. That's all straight ahead on the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison. Jesse Nelson, John Audius, the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Chrissy Birdsall, our producer, back in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison. We're out at the Hilldale location with you for the next few minutes here on ESPN Madison, taking you up to college basketball fans. You're going to like this. Duke, Virginia, coming up at 7 o'clock here on 100.5 ESPN. Big Monday, I think they used to call it on ESPN.
Oh,
I don't know if that's still the case or not, but Duke and Virginia coming up at 7 o'clock on a little President's Day special here on ESPN Radio. Speaking of which, ESPN Radio is your home all weekend long for the NBA All-Star Game. John, I know you consumed some of it on Sunday night on television. What do you think of the product the old NBA put out for us here?
First of all, if you don't mind, I'd like to take a step back to Saturday night, too.
Sure.
Because I am one of the few fans of NBA All-Star Saturday night. I think it's fun to watch three-point shooting contests and dunk contests. I think there are a lot of dunks that still have not been completed that people always say, all the dunks have been done. Go watch YouTube, and you'll see a bunch of dunks you've never seen in the NBA All-Star game or All-Star Saturday night. So, number one, let's start there real quick. That was fine.
The dunk contest was Mac McClung saved it. Otherwise, it's a bunch of guys missing dunks for 2 minutes.
There's too much missing with the dunk contest.
There was the middle guy and the third. It was awful.
Andre Jackson.
Andre Jackson of the Bucks wasn't the best. So we'll start there. Caitlin Clark should have said yes to the NBA. Caitlin Clark should be part of this event on Saturday night, whether it's the three-point contest like they did with Sabrina and Steph. She should be part. I don't care if she wants to have her first all-star three-point contest in the WNBA. Sure, the NBA has supported the WNBA for a quarter of a century. Go show up at the All-Star game. That made me mad that Caitlin Clark declined.
That's interesting because I've heard a lot of in favor of the other side of that argument, saying, like, good, support your own league. Like, you have your own game to grow.
NBA's in the name.
Yeah.
NBA is in the name. You're all together. You should all be together. The WNBA and NBA should be supportive of each other.
Like, LeBron should be going to their All-Star game, and Caitlin Clark should be coming to this All-Star game.
Wembanyama should go over there and do something. I don't know, but whatever. So I was disappointed that she declined that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they embrace it. I wanted to see Caitlin Clark at the NBA All-Star. I'll watch the WNBA stuff, too. I just want more of Caitlin Clark. The game was awful Sunday. The game was awful. I tuned into the championship game. It was 11 to, like, 3 or something, 11 to 1. And they took a break and honored TNT for, like, what seemed like 45 minutes. I know it wasn't that. And I'm thinking, did I tune in to watch basketball? I saw a tweet that broke down the amount of coverage on the game on Sunday. Listen to this, people. If you missed it, you didn't miss anything. It was a 3-hour broadcast, and there were 42 minutes of actual basketball being played. 42 minutes of the 3 hours was the All-Star. 42 minutes!
And that's not like basketball time. That's like real time of basketball.
They interrupted a game they interrupted the championship game to honor TNT. They stopped the game.
I saw one of the tweets I saw last night was, we're honoring TNT, but they're all just going to do the show on ESPN next year, right? It's like they've got an agreement in place there. Like, yeah, they do.
So 42 minutes of basketball, 80 minutes of commercials, 22 minutes of analyst crap. Intro was 30 minutes. Music took like 15 minutes. The tribute took 9 minutes. It felt like 45.
No.
It was just bad, man.
All right.
I don't mind the format. I like the idea of, like, doing something new and different. But don't just, like, interrupt it with, like, music and tributes. Play the damn games.
And then, meanwhile, simultaneously, I thought this was interesting.
So annoying.
I was out on Saturday night in Sun Prairie with a few friends, and we were at one of the establishments, and they had all the college. I think all the TVs were on the same channel that the Badger game had been on earlier in the day. A couple of fans came in. They asked to change the TV channel to the hockey game, USA-Canada, the Four Nations face-off, which people don't realize that's not the permanent, at least as of now, it's not the permanent replacement for the NHL All-Star game. That's a one-time thing that they're doing this year.
Maybe they should do it more often.
Given the success, I'm sure it will be back, and they'll make that adjustment, knowing, you know, if they do this right. But three fights in the first 9 seconds after the national anthem gets booed, and then, oh, man, like,
I missed that. I should have watched hockey.
Yeah, that was really fun. And, like, the place I was at was going crazy when the USA is scoring the goal that ties it up and then eventually to take the lead for good. No one asked to turn on the NBA Saturday Night All-Star festivities. And I thought that was telling that what I think would be a community
it's a
that...
It's a dying...
It's not like thing. Everyone in Sun Prairie just wants to watch, like, baseball all the time. Or just want, like, it's a mixed community that has a lot of different interests. That's one of the things I love about living there. And the fact that nobody asked to turn on the NBA All-Star Saturday night stuff, but multiple people asked to turn on USA-Canada hockey, was telling to me about where that event stands and where All-Star Weekend stands.
Listen, like I said, I'm the minority that actually enjoys NBA All-Star Saturday night. I think there's still value there. I still enjoy it personally. I did enjoy Mac McClung jumping over Kias and almost tripping. I enjoyed him, like, double-tapping the rim or whatever you want to call it. But I am in the minority because the rest of America doesn't really care about All-Star Saturday night.
That'll do it for the Great Dane Huddle here on ESPN Madison. Well, Debbie Downer, you started and finished in the same spot here. Just bringing everybody down, John. special shout-out to Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary, I guess. Debbie Downer making an appearance last night and making an appearance today at the Great Dane Huddle. John, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Best of luck the rest of the Badger women's basketball season on the radio call, and we will hear from you again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Jesse. It was fun.
Thanks to Chrissy Birdsall, our producer back in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison. My name is Jesse Nelson. Thanks so much for joining us for the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison. Coming up next, college basketball, Duke and Virginia, here on 100.5 ESPN.